If that made you mad, good. Call Will Dalton.
Cause I'm a smooth talker, moonwalker, man, you can't touch me.
You're on The Drive, the Triad's longest running live sports talk show.
You are on a Wednesday Drive right here on WSJS. Saw Con Knipple sat down with Dale Jr. today, or I think yesterday. They aired it today, and we'll play some highlights of that tomorrow. But one thing that he mentioned was four 2026 NBA draft prospects that he really likes. Ademara out of Michigan. There's been several mock drafts that have him going number 14 to Charlotte. Yaxel Lindenborg. Cam Boozer, he's not going to be available. And Amari Allen. So, a couple of those guys at the top out of Michigan might be around at 14. Just saying. Let's get to the Carolina Panthers, though. That's right. Love that. So, after hosting a playoff game for the first time in a decade, feeling like had their first genuinely good year since 2017, and gaining some actual respect from the NFL world, despite what Vegas might tell you, here's the question of the day. Who has the most to prove on this Carolina Panthers team going into this year? I've compiled a list of five that I had on my mind today, and we start with the most obvious of all. Bryce Young. He's playing on his fifth-year option. Nobody on this roster has more to lose or gain financially than Bryce Young does. And, you know, a Bryce extension would probably, from what I've read, match annually about what Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold is getting at $33 million per year, which, I mean, honestly, if you look at the career path, it's kind of similar. Baker had to have a resurgence. Sam Darnold, as we know, had to have a resurgence. Both of those guys just happened to come through Carolina. And Bryce Young, obviously a shorter period of time for him. But again, benched his second year after week two. Comes back the final 2 months of the year. Leads the Panthers to five games. Some really impressive outings. One against the Chiefs where they went down to the wire. One against the Eagles where they were an Xavier Legette drop away from winning that game. Both of those teams were in the Super Bowl that year. So, similar trajectory, leading the Panthers to the playoffs last year. 8 wins this time instead of 5. Went toe-to-toe with the Rams, really, from Bryce's perspective on the offensive side, did everything they needed to do to win the game. It was just the defense that let them down. And 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you have thoughts. So, similar trajectory of Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. We're seeing more and more patience now. It's starting to become a trend again in the NFL. I think because of the Sam Darnolds of the world and that whole story, give a little bit more time to these quarterbacks to develop. Can't just expect, you know, Dan Morgan talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You just can't just drop these guys in usually and expect them to just figure it out right away. The NFL is a different beast, man. But we got this sound of Dan Morgan, don't we?
I think contract-wise, in terms of long-term contract, you know, we'll keep talking about that here internally, and we'll get it done at the right time, you know, if we're going to do it. And, you know, we'll talk to Bryce's representatives and, you know, just kind of keep those discussions here internally. But obviously, we believe in Bryce. He's gotten better every single year. He's developing as a leader. He has such a good grasp of Coach Canales and Brad Hidzik's offense. He's just getting better every single day.
He is. And that was Dan Morgan on Rich Eisen yesterday talking about Bryce. I mean, they want him to be the future. They've set him up to be the future, and they've given him all the tools necessary, the weapons, the protection, Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks out of the backfield to help him succeed if he's going to succeed. The second guy on the list here, Xavier Legette. XL. He's another one that's kind of obvious. He's got a little something to prove this year after a tough sophomore year. And when they drafted Chris Brazel out of Tennessee, who has a similar build athletically and speed-wise to XL. And from all reports, Chris Brazel really looked the part in rookie minicamp. Now, we'll see what he looks like going up against Mike Jackson, J.C. Horn in real training camp, not just running against air. But so far, so good for Chris Brazel. And XL, he struggled with drops. He struggled just being disciplined. Like, we saw this in the preseason game against the Browns. We saw that when he got into a fight early in the game and had to get ejected in the first preseason game. Lining up on the wrong side, coming down 1 foot out of bounds, not knowing where he's at on the field. These are all things that he's going to have to clean up this year, especially with this receiver room filling up. The next guy on the list is Jonathan Brooks. He has to prove that he's not an injury-prone guy. He has to get that label off his back because he was hurt with an ACL injury coming out of Texas in 2023 when he was viewed as one of the best backs coming out of that draft. Panthers loved him so much they traded up for him in the second round despite recovering from the ACL tear. And then 3 games in, he tore his ACL 2 years ago with the Panthers, and he missed all last year. So he's got to get that injury-prone label off his back. Next is, you might be surprised to hear this one, but I think there's some validity to it. And that's the offensive tackle that they picked up in free agency from Green Bay, Rashid Walker. He's on a 1 year deal. Now he was considered the best tackle in free agency when they took him, but they just drafted Monroe Freeling out of Georgia. And so there's going to be some competition there, I believe. Now, I do think when it's all said and done, Rashid Walker is going to get the start up front. But he is going to have Monroe Freeling breathing down his neck a little bit, and he's going to have to prove that he is going to be the starter for the year. And again, he's on a 1 year deal, so there's some stuff to prove there to get an extension, whether it's with the Panthers or somewhere. Lastly is Bobby Brown, which you may not be thinking much about, but at nose tackle, after signing a three-year deal, $21 million last year, and not really having much to show for it last year, it makes the Lee Hunter drafting out of Texas Tech all the more intriguing. A guy who just looks like he's going to be ready to run through a wall for Carolina. Heard him talking to the media the other day at rookie minicamp. That dude's ready. He is motivated. He plays violent. He talked about how he actually likes Derrick Brown's style of play. Bobby Brown, he's going to have a little something to prove. Rookies, the name of the game here for the Panthers early as they're trying to get starting time. 336-777-1600. Let's go to Mark, who's once in on Cam Boozer.
Yeah, man. Hey, I was calling in when you were joking around about Cam Boozer being a pick for the Hornets. You were realistically talking about, you know, them at 14, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what if we traded some assets away to trade up for him, since our team's, you know, we're retaining all five starters. So they're going to be around for a little bit, especially they're all young. Why not get another guy that can grow with them?
Interesting theory there, Mark. I appreciate the call. I mean, you would have to trade some first-round picks. You'd have to do that. I don't know what on the roster right now you would have to move to get up there. But honestly, I don't know that Charlotte needs him.
I was thinking 2 first rounds, maybe 3, and the LaMelo.
So you think you'd have to give up LaMelo to go up there and get him?
I think you would, and I don't think I personally wouldn't give that much for Cam Boozer.
I wouldn't either.
I don't think your team needs a piece that significant to get to the next level at this point.
I don't think so either from what we just seen. Like, I think, like, Charlotte's in an interesting position now where they have a chance to decide, do we just draft the best player available or do we draft for need because of the year they just had? And they could use a big man like Ademara. Could use that. So that's going to be one of the questions for Charlotte, what they decide to do with the five. I mean, Musa Diabate was a big reason why when they put him into the starting rotation at the five. That's when everything took off for the Hornets. But you keep him in and maybe the four. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation for sure, and I appreciate that call. Very quickly, ACC spring meetings going on. We'll have more on this tomorrow's show. We'll talk to David Glenn of the NC Sports Network about some of these things tomorrow, but it's really the first time everybody's gotten together since the ACC and NCAA tournament, and when they get together, they people talk, they chit-chat, they whisper. That's what they do. And some of the things that are going to be talked a lot about is the reaction to NCAA tournament expansion, which will then lead to a lot of college football playoff expansion talk, which is what we saw today, and then a lot of talk about Duke's first-of-its-kind deal with Amazon to broadcast three games. That's going to set a precedent, I believe. So Jim Phillips, here he was talking about what the TV networks would like in terms of college football playoff expansion.
ESPN's been pretty clear with all of us that they'd like it to stay at 12, maybe 14, but no higher than 16. And so that is, you know, that's important. They're our partner. They're our partner with the CFP. Obviously, they're our full partner here as it relates to the ACC. And so we'll continue to talk with them as it relates to the CFP piece of it. The championship game part of it, I don't know. I mean, that's down the road. But I have said before, when you look at championship games and if you expand the playoff to that number, I think you end up going from regular season right into the playoff. I just think you end up doing that.
He's talking about the conference championship games, and Jim Phillips is in favor of expansion. He's talked about wanting to go to 24. That's what Notre Dame wants. That's what the Big Ten wants. And that access word is going to be thrown around a lot this week when people are talking about this. More access for these schools, and that's because that's who wants it. The ADs, the conference commissioners, like Jim Phillips, and the universities. The coaches to be able to point to their resume and say, hey, made the playoff. So the real question is, what is it going to do to the regular season? So this conversation is not going away. It's only going to get louder. And, I don't know. I don't know if it's the greatest thing for the game, personally. But it's all about the money. That's what it's all about.
Drive Home Vibes. Sports talk that doesn't care about your feelings. This is The Drive, the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show.
Back at it on The Drive right here on WSJS. I'm all about accountability. I think if you're accountable about your failures, you'll be happier. Don't blame it on somebody else. Blame who you see in the mirror. It's the man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson once said. That's right. So, after a bit of a rough skid, I made the decision, you know what? Starting yesterday, gonna keep a record. Gonna keep track of these things from now until football season starts. We had a card of four last night. I'd like to tell you how it went in Dalton's Dollars.
It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
That's right. Had a nice spread. A lot of options. Had a nice variety last night. So starting with the Spurs and the Timberwolves. Boy, the Spurs look good. Boy, they look good. Wimby, San Antonio, we'll talk a little bit more about them a little later on. Man, they're looking strong. But I took the San Antonio money line, and I parlayed it with Wimby to have 12 or more rebounds. He had had 9 rebounds before he got ejected in Game 4. He had 15 rebounds the 3 games prior to that. And last night was absolutely no exception. He went well over that.
Show me the money!
That's right. Well over that number. In fact, I think he had like 18 or something like that. forget what the final number was on his rebounds. We'll figure that out for you. I also liked the Sabres money line in the Canadiens game. This is, you know, this is the series. The winner here gets the Hurricanes. And it was a terrific game. Did you watch this, Morgan? Terrific game. Back and forth. Montreal got out in front early. Sabres tied it up, battled back. Then Montreal got out in front again, tied it up at two. And then in the end, the Sabres, they get the win.
Show me the money!
And that I believe this is, yeah, that was on road ice for Buffalo. So now they're going back to their place with a 2-2 series tie. So it's going to be a little while before we see the Hurricanes in action again. Also had the Yankees money line last night against the Orioles. I don't want to talk about today's game. Don't want to talk about it. Not interested. But last night, boy, the Yankees handled their business.
Show me the money!
They were just smoking the baseball in the second inning of that game. It was 1-0, and then it was 6-0. Like the blink of an eye. And what really made me laugh is the Orioles in the third inning loaded the bases with nobody out. Didn't get anything out of it. No runs. Snorials. Again, I don't want to talk about what happened today. I'm not going to do that. So then, the last bet that I placed was Yamamoto last night on the bump. Dodgers, Giants. I took 5.5 over, 5.5 strikeouts for him. He finished with 8.
Show me the money!
Yep, 4-0. 4-0, undefeated. Never lost. And so we'll keep track of that. In terms of tonight, got to place a few for tonight, you know. Going to keep it simple. Just going to put 2 on the card. In the NBA, you got Detroit and you got Cleveland. It's back in Detroit. And so far in these playoffs, Detroit is 5-1. 5-1 in these playoffs. The spread's 3.5 in favor of them. I'm not going to overcomplicate this thing. I get that Cleveland looked really good, especially in Game 4 when Donovan Mitchell went off. I like Detroit to get this one. I like them to cover that 3.5-point spread.
Show me the money!
Yeah. And then in terms of the hockey tonight, Minnesota, Colorado, Wild, Avalanche. Colorado leads that series 2-1. Or excuse me, 3-1. And I think I'm just going to take the Minnesota money line here.
Show me the money!
They're going to play desperate. They're going to play aggressive. And on road ice, similar to Buffalo last night, I think Minnesota will at least get one more in this series. So, in review, Detroit 3.5-point favorites against the Cavs tonight at home. And I think Minnesota on the road gets the win over the Avalanche to trim that series to 3-2 in favor of Colorado. It's been Dalton's Dollars. Productive. Productive stuff right there. By the way, you're going to have an opportunity to win tickets in hour number 2. See, we always play out of left field with Darren Vaught of D1 Baseball of ESPN. And this is your time to shine. This is your moment. At 5:15, when he joins, we'll play out of left field, and you will have an opportunity to win some Godsmack tickets. We got 2 pair, and it's very simple. All you got to do is call in at 336-777-1600 and give us something out of left field. A very, an out of left field question, topic, concern, whatever it happens to be. We want to get you some tickets. That's what we want to do. By the way, Caleb Wilson out at the NBA Combine last night, or yesterday. I don't know if it was last night, but yesterday. Saw him out there at the, they were doing the 3-point drills. When I tell you, my man was not missing. He was cashing out on that. Now, I get you only put so much stock into that. It's more of the season sample, of course. But Caleb Wilson was, that was a pure shot. Let's just say that. And he didn't mince words when he joined whatever desk, TV desk was there on site. And he said this about what he's going to do to somebody's culture.
I'm going to change their franchise. I'm going to change the culture of their program. And I'm going to change the city, honestly. You know, I'm a culture changer. I did the same thing in North Carolina. I got a rough year the year before when I was able to play. I changed the culture, and I made the city live again. So, you know, whatever franchise chooses to draft me, knows they're going to get a winner, knows they're going to get a leader, and they know they're going to get a culture changer.
Culture changer. A lot of Chicago Bulls fans are excited. A lot of them.
They should be.
Yeah. A.J. DeBonsa, he was pretty fired up, talking about he puts butts in seats. I think that's what he said. So, NBA Combine, that's going on right now. We'll continue to follow that as it goes.
And now, it really is my honor to talk about
arguing sports so you don't have to argue at home. You're on The Drive.
At it on The Drive right here on WSJS. Potential landing spots for Giannis coming up a little later on this hour. But right now, we got to talk some racing. With Watkins Glen in the books this past weekend and the NASCAR All-Star Race. What, is that this weekend? That's what we got up next. We got plenty to get to, including the coolest trophy I've ever seen in the Fast Lane.
Where speed meets the mic.
Wow, what a move!
This is the Fast Lane on WSJS.
Put on your seatbelt, check your mirrors, let's begin.
Your fast track to racing talk.
Yeah, so Watkins Glen was this weekend, and it was a fantastic race. We knew who was pretty much going to go in as the favorite, which was Shane Van Gisbergen. And with 24 laps to go, he is 30 seconds behind the leader after a green flag pit stop. And he toasts the field. To even have a chance at being at the front of the pack at the end of it, he has to gain 1.3 seconds a lap on the leaders. Yeah, he finished the race ahead by 7 seconds.
Jeez.
So that was a 37-second turnaround from lap 24 on.
It's no joke. I'm no expert on such things, but that's
a huge competitive advantage of how he's able to take care of his tires, specifically the rears, because those burn out fast at Watkins Glen, and the way he's able to maintain the top speed on the track while saving the rears is spectacular and unseen in this sport.
Wow.
Now, there is a critique to the coverage. Something we did not see was the huge crash that I believe Cody Ware took. He hit the fence, and it moved the fence 2 feet back.
Get out of here. And we didn't see it?
They didn't show it. We only saw pictures of the fence after the race from someone's ex.
Somebody's ex?
Yes. So we never saw it during the race. They just mentioned, oh, a little wreck. Yeah, took one of the hardest hits you can take on a non-safer barrier.
Eesh.
And moved the fence about a foot and a half, 2 feet back. But going to this week, it's Dover or the Monster Mile. It's called the Monster Mile because it takes a toll on the cars. The cars take a beating at this track. It's a concrete surface. It just eats at the tires. But they played into that a little bit with a statue outside of the track.
Yeah.
That is a monster coming out of the ground that holds the previous winner's car in its hand. And we have a picture here, I believe, on the YouTube and Xtreme.
That's right. Here it is.
You got to see it. It just comes out of the ground. It's not some little one. It looks...
That is just the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it holds the winner's car from the year prior?
Yeah. Or if they have like a Toyota, Chevy, or Ford will pay a little more and they'll be able to hold their car.
Wow.
But yeah, that's...
That is sick.
The red eyes are a great addition.
Yeah. How long has this been up? When did they do this?
I would assume the 90s, but okay. I'm not sure.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. But this is also the trophy for the track. So when you win at Dover, you get a little version of it, and it holds your 124 scale die cast in its hand.
Yeah.
And it's the best trophy you've ever seen. It's so unique. There it is. That's Chase Elliott's win from, I think 2019. And you can see he's just holding it. And it's It's so cool.
That is a really cool trophy.
But this is the All-Star race, so it's a non-points paying race. So
you don't get points
for
it.
It's like a exhibition race essentially. And there's a $1 million purse for the winner. Second place, you're out of luck. You're getting nothing.
See? I'm just still looking at this trophy. I was somebody that really liked die-cast cars growing up. I had all the Jeff Gordon cars. And so, like, I would love... Like, to me, this would be the coolest trophy of... Like, outside of maybe the Daytona 500 trophy, this might be the coolest trophy of all. Just because I got a die-cast car in it.
Yeah, I think it's so cool that you can, like, put the car in it. It definitely makes it unique, for sure. I don't know another trophy that does that.
No, I don't either.
But there's three segments to this All-Star race. Segment one is 75 laps, and the qualifying order is different. You'll take a lap around the track, and then on your second lap around, you'll go into the pits. Your pit crew will perform a four-tire stop with no gas, and then you'll go out of pit lane and finish that lap. And whoever has the fastest time is on the front. It goes 1 to 30.
Wow, okay.
And then segment one is 75 laps. Segment two is also 75 laps, but they invert the field. So the person in first will start in last.
Now, why do they do that?
It's the All-Star race. Spice it up a little bit. Make them work a little bit.
Make it interesting,
yeah,
I guess.
Make it interesting. And then segment three is 200 laps, but it will only have 26 of the drivers. Race winners from the last two seasons, series champions that race every race, and a fan vote will be included. So the fans determine some of the drivers that are in this. But it's not a full field because it's an All-Star race. You want only the top drivers.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
So that's Dover. It's going to be a 1 o'clock race. Dover's currently getting phased out of NASCAR, unfortunately.
Is that right?
It is. This new car that we have, the next-gen car, just doesn't do well on short tracks because it doesn't move. You can't push it out of the way.
Are they doing that with Martinsville, too? Because that's short track.
Martinsville is not going anywhere. It's an iconic track.
I was
going
to say, that's iconic.
Yeah, but same with Bristol. They're not moving that anywhere, but Dover's getting kind of pushed out. But transitioning, we were talking about Indy 500 and Coke 600 doubles.
Yes.
Catherine Legg is going to be running both. I'm going to be honest here. Don't know why. I just saw on the TV here, they've got practice on. I think she's running 30th in the IndyCar practice. And she has an average NASCAR finish of 34.5 with two top 20s. I saw somebody in the comments say that she has the best chance of winning both since Tony Stewart. Kyle Larson didn't do well in his, but I'm not going to put any... I don't think she's going to win, but it's still an amazing feat to be attempting this. This is 1,100 miles.
It's no joke.
In one afternoon and evening. That's driving to New York City and back in 8 hours.
God, could you imagine? And they say race car drivers aren't athletes. Well, they don't say it. Stephen A. said that. Keeping it with the NASCAR theme here, did you see that... Did you see who's going to be the honorary pace car driver for the Coke 600 next weekend?
No one else but LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball. He might be the first pace car to wreck the field.
We had someone steal the pace car once.
Yeah, you were telling me about this. Yeah. How did they steal it? Like it's
it was the mid to late 90s, I think, or very early 2000s. And... a lot of less restrictions at the track than there is now. Some guy just hopped in the pace car and took it for a joyride around the track, and next thing you know, there's a parade of police cars behind him.
I can't believe they're getting LaMelo to do this. This is incredible.
There's going to be an epic clip from that.
Cooper Flagg did it a couple of weekends ago.
He did.
So, sticking with the NBA theme here. That's been in the fast lane.
Clock out. Turn it up. Let's ruin some narratives.
I know what you want. I know who you are.
Welcome to The Drive, the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show.
some basketball. Let's do that. Back at it on the drive right here on WSJS. Where Milwaukee, Giannis, open for business. We learned that yesterday. They're looking to get a trade done or they're taking calls. And, you know, Giannis's time with the Bucks has come to an end, it would seem. Which I don't think was a failure, by the way. In fact, you can make the... You know what's interesting? I've heard a lot of people try to say that if you're going to consider LeBron's time with the Lakers a failure, well, you better consider Giannis's time with Milwaukee, Jokic's time with Denver, also a failure.
See, I just disagree. Those are smaller market teams that like really don't get the national attention. Like Milwaukee winning a national championship was a or not national champ, the NBA Finals was a huge deal.
I mean, just one title though with Giannis.
They're not the Lakers.
Oh, jeez. This isn't about LeBron. Ugh. It's about Giannis. All right. I have five teams as of today, just right now, that I'm thinking about in terms of could make a ton of sense for Giannis and could make a ton of sense for said team, too. The first one, the Miami Heat.
I really like that pick.
I do, too. If you could pair Giannis with Bam, you're going to have to probably give up Tyler Hero to get him in a package that would include other things. But the Miami Heat, they're a team that feels like they're just a piece away of being like a legit threat in the East. They're not. They just need that one piece. And Giannis could be that. They're a team that's, you know, had some first-round exits. It was a play-in exit to the Charlotte Hornets this year. But a lot of first-round exits in the last handful of years. They've lost in the finals a couple of times in the last, you know, I guess really going all the way back to 2020. I think they've had two finals exits, that being one of them in 2020 in the bubble at the hands of LeBron James and the Lakers. So, Morgan's shaking his head over here. Miami makes a ton of sense to me. Another team that I think makes a lot of sense that people aren't talking about, your Clippers.
I was not expecting that.
Well, you know, they have that number five pick. You could pack, you know, you could package it with something.
We don't have anything, though. We don't have picks. We don't control our own picks until 2031. And we don't have any players but Kawhi, really. So that's why I don't really think that the Clippers are an option. Because OKC still has all of our picks. We only have this one because of Pacers.
So maybe they couldn't do the Clippers. I mean, so y'all don't have anything that you could package with that number five pick to get him?
We let Paul George walk.
Yeah, you did.
We traded James Harden for scraps, and we stole, and we absolutely robbed Indiana. But we Oklahoma City still has all of our picks from the Paul George trade.
I see. Well, the Clippers I thought would be interesting with that number five pick and some others. And maybe it still will be. I don't know. That's why I mentioned them. They're not the top of the list. This is like from bottom to top. Cleveland's either going to get Giannis or they're going to get LeBron James. One of the two.
Both?
I don't think they're not going to get both. But I'm telling you right now, if the Cavs lose to Detroit in this series, which just based on how everybody's looked, and I'm somebody that had the Cavs getting to the Eastern Conference Finals at the beginning of the playoffs, but just, you know, that's the thing. A lot of sports media people, they just die with their picks and don't evolve. Like, I'll tell you right now, I think Detroit's going to win this series based on how they've looked thus far. You get new data, you got to change your opinion. Now, I'll go down with the ship in terms of that was the pick. Can't change it, but I will tell you I think Detroit's going to win. But I don't think James Harden's going to be back next year. So, Cleveland, they're a team that could add a LeBron or a Giannis, in my opinion. So, I think it would make a ton of sense if they did that. Another one, the New York Knicks. Now, this one's fascinating to me because if the Knicks... See, the Knicks are in a really good spot right now. A lot of this is going to depend on what they do the rest of the way here. Like, if they go and they win a championship, do they add Giannis? Do they really need to?
Yeah.
You think so?
Look at what the Bucks in Denver did. They didn't really add after a chip, and then they really kind of faded.
Mm.
So maybe trade some picks?
Maybe. I mean, let's just pretend Detroit beats them in the conference finals. Or let's just pretend they get to the finals and they come up short, which they probably will, to either the Spurs or the Thunder. They might feel in their own way, hey, we're a piece away. We could add a little something else, Giannis. And guess what? The Knicks players have never looked more desirable for possible trade. So, Cat having an incredible postseason, maybe trade him. That would ship him off to Milwaukee. That'd be brutal. But you could to get a Giannis, maybe. Pair him with Jalen Brunson and that whole crew. But you know the one that fascinates me the most?
Please don't say Golden State.
No, it's not Golden State.
Okay, good.
I thought about that. But I was like, eh. They'd have to get... That's just messy. They'd have to give up Jimmy Butler.
We must talk.
Go ahead.
Talk.
Turning your ride home into appointment listening. Welcome to The Drive.
Darren Vaught, D1 Baseball, ACC Network, ESPN, The Lottery. He does a little bit of everything. He's a Renaissance man. Darren, how we doing, my friend?
I'm good. People keep telling me that, and I don't quite know what it means.
I'm a Renaissance man?
I'm aware of the context that, you know, people mean it as, but yeah, anyways, what's good?
So we're going to have a chance for people to win Godsmack tickets when we play Out of Left Field here in just a little bit. Is Godsmack up your alley?
No.
No?
Not at all.
You don't rock with Godsmack?
I could not. There probably are songs that I would recognize, but I don't know that I could tell you a single song.
I see. So Darren would not want these tickets, but we already have somebody on the line that would. So
no, I know they're very popular. It's like I get it, but no, they missed. I had friends who, you know, like growing up in high school, who were way into them.
Yeah.
One in particular had their, don't they have that little like sun?
They do.
Logo, yeah. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like he had that tattooed on him. Like,
oh, wow.
Know, it's yeah. For some people, it's a big deal. So by all means, light up the phones.
336-777-1600. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, you're going to be on the call on ACC Network for some pretty significant college baseball this weekend. Georgia Tech, Boston College, BC's number 23 in the D1 25 top 25 rankings. Georgia Tech is number 3. Give us a little sneak preview to this series. This is the finale, right?
Yeah, regular season finale for both. I root for the show, so hopefully they split the first two games and we get the game for the series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, Georgia Tech's been just a freight train all season long. They want to win the regular season title in the ACC. They want to win the tournament title in the ACC. They want to win a regional at home. They want to win a super regional at home. Like, this is a team that's trying to do it all. They're trying to take it all. BC is this unexpectedly great team that's in the top three of the ACC. They're trying to secure a double bye in the conference tournament next week, which is a huge deal because those four teams at the top of the standings with double byes, essentially you shave the conference tournament down to, you got to win three, which is drastically important for your pitching plan because you can just treat it like a weekend series as you have all season long, right? Because it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or in this case, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Both coaches are very aware of the stylistic differences. calling this sort of like an air raid versus a wishbone. If you vibe with the football analogy, it's Georgia Tech is explosive offense. They score a ton of runs. BC has this, what they call bird ball, which is like a gritty, tough style of play that includes a lot of the inside game. They'll bunt guys over. They play great defense and they pitch. They'll run on the base paths. It makes for a really, really fun dynamic matchup. And that's at noon on Saturday on ACCN. I'm with Mike Rooney for that one. So should be a lot of fun.
Love that. Let's go ahead. Oh, Morgan, you've got something.
I do. I saw the other day that the NCAA is pleading with coaches not to cancel series for a better seeding in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, I saw this too.
Is that a thing that is commonly happening? I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, for a number of years, actually. You get to this time of year and air quotes, inclement weather is responsible for canceling series. But what it really is a team on the bubble who is trying to improve their resume and improve their case to make an NCAA regional, has a midweek game scheduled against. So like Boston College, for instance, yesterday was supposed to play UMass Lowell. They didn't play that game. Now, BC did not cancel that game for RPI shystiness. They actually overscheduled their season. So you're only allowed to play up to 56 games. And BC, being a Northeastern team, not thinking that they could possibly get all of their scheduled games in, accounted for that on the front side. So they scheduled a few extra games. As a result, they had to slash some games toward the end of their season. And on the surface, it looks like what everybody else is doing and canceling the game to keep the RPI up, but they had no choice. They can't play more than 56 games. So there are games being canceled for a number of reasons, but yeah, teams that are going to be on the bubble are if you're playing a low RPI opponent, which is the higher number, a worse RPI opponent, whether you win or lose, it's going to damage your resume. So they will cancel those. And you know, not everybody says the quiet part out loud, but some ADs and such have in the past couple of weeks, which I respect.
The phone lines have already started to light up, which means
for Godsmack or
for Godsmack. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was for RPI related cancellations.
But. I mean 336-777-1600. Light it up for RPIs too. Or a chance to win Godsmack tickets, because now we go out of left field.
From minds that wander off the beaten path.
Here we go.
Unexpected, unscripted, unbelievable.
I like it. It's simple, to the point.
It's the curveball of your day.
Bring the bare necessities of life.
Out of left field with Darren Vaught.
Did I do the thing again where I said we go out of left field when it's supposed to be we're coming from out of left field? Did I do that again?
I think you're throwing yourself off with like a verb. There.
Morgan's nodding his head that I did.
Now it's time for out of left field.
No, I said now it's time for us to go out.
I'm giving you advice here.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
You just need to say now it's time for out of left field, or now out of left field, because you're tripping yourself up here.
A little too much verbally, you know, trying to do a little too
keep
much.
It simple. Keep it simple. Less is more.
That's right. You darn right it is. Dave and Clemens has something for out of left field. What do you have, Dave?
Hey, what's up, WD and Darren? Hey, I got one quick baseball question. Then I have an out of left field question. Darren, if you could pick one team to win the College World Series right now for meme betting purposes, who would you pick?
Well, not for your betting purposes. So, fun, of course.
Correct.
Is how you're taking this advice.
Yep.
Look, UCLA has been so dominant. They're the obvious number one team in the country. They actually, D1 Baseball's top 25 poll has existed since I think 2015, and UCLA has broken the record for the most consecutive weeks at the number one spot. They just now lost a Big Ten game over the weekend at one of their three against Oregon. They, beat them in the other two. Oregon's a potential regional host, so like that's a good team. I think you'd have to go UCLA. I don't know. I mean, that's chalk, though. I don't know if you want maybe kind of like a sleeper to go with that.
No, UCLA, that's fine. I'll take UCLA and ride the Bruins. Awesome. And my out of left field question for all the boys is, if I gift wrapped you a trip anywhere in the world for free, all expense paid vacation, where would you guys pick to go?
Ooh. Will's never been anywhere, so this is...
Yeah, I got options here. Do you have an answer to this?
Japan's on my list.
Okay.
Pretty high up there. Maybe Japan. I had a friend who just honeymooned in Lisbon, Portugal, and came back nonplussed by it. Like, did not love Lisbon, apparently. Hmm. So, if I'm taking his recommendation, that one's down farther on my list than it initially was. I don't know. Japan, probably. I think probably Japan. Catch a baseball game. The food's incredible. Tokyo's like, you know, Far East New York is my understanding. So that'd be cool.
You know, I don't want to do the cliche, oh, I'd like to go to Italy. Although I would.
I've been, and I'm telling you.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes, do it.
Okay. I do have one that's always been on my mind, though. It's not popular. At least I don't think it is. I'd love to go to Egypt.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, the pyramids.
I'd love to see the pyramids. That's, I think, the setting for the first Indiana Jones movie, so I'd like to go there. Just the Sphinx. I've always loved Egyptian culture. Like, ever since I was a kid, I was fascinated by it. So, yeah, I'd like to visit there. Ride a camel or something. I don't know.
There you go. You would have to, right? That feels
of course.
Like a must.
That's it. Morgan, where would you go?
I'm not a big traveling person. I'm not.
Oh, great. That seems to be a theme with the producer of this show.
It's one thing to not have traveled like Will. Morgan just doesn't want to go anywhere.
I love it. I do a lot of traveling over the summer, but not internationally.
Okay.
I haven't been to Texas too much recently. I love Texas, so I'd probably go to Texas back home.
A specific part of it?
Yeah. I'm from Killeen, so probably the Killeen or Belton area, which is outside of Waco.
I once called that Waco.
Home of Dr. Pepper.
Is that right?
The best soda around.
See, okay, this is where we're going to have fighting words, Morgan.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get out of the way.
The Dr. Pepper thing, you know there's differing opinions there. By legend, birthplaces of Dr. Pepper happens to be my hometown of Rural Retreat, Virginia. So,
oh,
we claim it as well. It's fine. Like it can have two birthplaces. That's fine. But you just gotta. The people who claim it in Texas aren't aware that like you could be wrong.
And the people from Virginia are just not aware they could be wrong.
No. I'm saying I could be wrong. This is me, person from Virginia. Putting in that disclaimer, I could be wrong.
So actually,
I at least mentioned both, whereas you said, no, this is the definitive birthplace of.
So the original factory is actually in Waco.
Well, for sure. Now, yes. I know the factory's in Waco, but the guy, Dr. Pepper himself, as it were, lived and worked in Rural Retreat, Virginia. So it's the distinction there is whether or not he invented it, like actually invented it, before moving to Texas where he like
produced it,
manufactured it in mass, I think is the,
that makes sense.
That's where the hang up is.
Darren, what do you have that's out of left field?
So I was on a walk earlier, like very shortly before I hopped on here. And what are the squirrels doing out there where you guys are? They have no fear here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Like,
they're so close, and they don't even care that I'm coming. That's new. That's like...
Because usually they run away.
Yeah. It's just a thing I've noticed lately.
People are feeding them.
Walks.
Are people feeding them?
So that's what it is. Animals are being fed.
Do you know this for a
fact?
Yeah,
no. So when you feed animals, they become less aggressive towards humans and they start seeing them as feeders, not people going to eat me. So that's a shift starting to happen amongst the animals.
See, every time I get around squirrels, they just want to run under my car.
Yeah, they scurry away. Yeah.
And they're not, I mean, they cut it close. So back to the not fearless thing. They just get right on under there last minute.
Morgan, your theory makes way more sense than me thinking that they're trying to conspire. They're like,
oh, those are the birds. Thoughts, the birds are trying to conspire.
You walk by, they're like, look at that idiot human. He's got no idea what's coming his way. We outnumber them by a bunch.
Very quickly, Morgan, what do you have for out of left field?
If you could instantly obtain all the knowledge on a specific topic, what would it be? Mine would be like astrophysics.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing there.
Physics.
One that could make you like a bunch of money. Because like, what else are you using that for? You know what I mean?
I just love the universe.
My brain went to something that was like musical, although I guess that's not just knowledge. That's going to be like, there's got to be a skill. There's more art to it.
Yeah. You know what? I'd like to do guitar. I'd like to do guitar. Which, I mean, I guess I could teach myself that. That's not like some... That's the real step down from astrophysics
or what
you said.
aim higher. Because, okay. That's a midlife crisis. Astrophysics is not.
Okay. Teach myself how to fly a plane.
There you go.
That's better. That's an interesting hobby.
Also, something that people do in their midlife, trying to figure out what they like. But it's better. Better. I think I would become a world-class musician in that way. And I would just hope that I've got whatever other side of brain stuff it takes to apply it, you know?
That's been out of left field with Darren Vaught. You should know that DJ Turner here at the studio, he just sent me a text. I guess it's a Google search. He says, Dr. Pepper was created in 1885 in Waco, Texas.
What is that, AI overview? I'm not going to trust that.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper himself.
I told you there is a dispute. It's an active dispute regarding the birthplace of Dr. Pepper. So there's probably something that you could find by Googling it that, you know, says whatever about Virginia.
You can make it say whatever you want it to say.
Unfortunately, I think that's the case.
Yeah.
That's the case.
Darren, you have a great call this weekend. You're going to be calling Duke Wake tomorrow, though, right?
Yeah. I've got game one for Duke Wake tomorrow, or Wake at Duke, rather, tomorrow, and then fly up to Boston on Friday, game Saturday.
Love it. Safe travels, my man. Have a great call, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, man. We'll see you then.
Later. There goes Darren Vaught. You know, I was going to ask about superstition, because Cal Raleigh, did you see what he did to break his slump?
Was it the shower?
Yeah. He showered in full uniform and then had consecutive hits. I am not a very superstitious person. I think things are more mental than anything else. I think if you believe something, then it's the way it's going to be. But as a former baseball player, who might be the most superstitious players of all, hence Cal Raleigh taking a shower in full uniform, you don't cross bats, you don't step on the foul line. Slump busters, if you know, you know. Might be something to it. Just saying. Superstitious. I'm not very superstitious. But when it comes to the baseball field, I think I might be.